Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everybody, welcome back to another edition of the 12 Questions Podcast. My name is Jeff Gluck. I'm a motorsports writer for The Athletic, and each week I ask the same 12 questions to a different race car driver. Up next, it's Kevin Magnussen from Haas F1 team. If you listen to the Teardown podcast, our post-race podcast, or follow me on Twitter, you know I was at the Miami Grand Prix last week. And if you listen to these 12 Questions podcast, you know that the previous one was Kyle Larson asking if there was some way to get Kevin Magnussen on the podcast so he could ask a specific question. And he'll be very excited with Kevin Magnussen's answer because it was about sprint cars, and Magnussen seemed to really enjoy talking about that. So you'll hear that in our interview. Maybe a little background noise on this because we are outside at the Miami Grand Prix in the paddock area, but hopefully that just provides some ambiance, I guess, for the interview. And let's go ahead and listen to what Kevin Magnussen had to say on the 12 questions. All right, everybody, I'm here with Kevin Magnussen. And Kevin, this is a 12 questions interview where I ask the same 12 questions just to a different driver every week. So not specific to you, just hopefully that some drivers can talk about. So
yeah.
thank you for sitting down.
Thank you.
So the first one is, how do you feel about people reclining their seats on airplanes? You know, like you're sitting on the airplane.
That. Yeah. Don't do that. At least on short flights, you know, no way. Keep it upright, you know. That's how I feel.
If somebody leans back on you, do you feel obligated, like you have to do it yourself? Or are you like, no, I'm not going to do that to the person behind me, even though you've been wronged? You know what I mean?
No, I leave my own upright. You know, it's yeah.
I like
especially
that.
When you're if the guy behind you is eating on the table, you know that. It's just impossible to eat if the seat in front is inclined.
So how often do you get recognized at the grocery store?
It depends where I am, I guess. How often? Well, it happens, you know.
Yeah. Like, do people come up to you, or do they mostly, like, stare and be like, oh, there he is?
There's some staring, for sure. And some people come up and ask for a photo or, you know, just to chat.
Yeah, and you're good with that?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's all part of it. You know?
Yeah. On a scale 1 to 10, how good are you at replying to text messages in a timely manner?
1.
Oh, you're not good at texting.
No, I'm not.
Do you see them and then just be like, nah, I'm not going to reply? Or do you just not see them?
I don't know. I get a lot. The thing is, around Formula One races, there's so many. I get so many text messages from people who are watching, and you know, then I get like behind, and I feel like I have to reply to people. Then I just give up.
What is the best way to get out of a conversation with someone who will not stop talking?
I don't know, but I feel like, you know, kids have it all figured out. You know, they just turn around and walk away.
Since you've been a parent, you've noticed this observation.
Yes, exactly. You know, yeah. That's I'm trying to learn from that and try and practice doing the same.
Okay, I like that. If you could only pick one form of social media to use and drop all the rest, which would it be?
If I could choose one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I use Instagram a little bit. I don't have the app, so I log on, to my profile on the browser.
Okay.
Because I feel like that makes it a little harder for me to spend time on Instagram. It's so easy to be dragged into, like, you know, you take your phone up, go on Instagram, and an hour passes in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I don't have the app intentionally to try and stop myself from spending a lot of time on it. And also, it's different different having Instagram when you got a lot of followers to when it's mainly just friends and family following.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, that's true. What advice would you give someone who is having a hard time getting over a mistake they've made?
It's hard to give a good advice. I mean, because the best thing I can say is just do get over it. You know, move on. F1 is very much, you know, in F1, everything you do is analyzed as if you made a mistake. I'm sure even, you know, when Mercedes or Red Bull are winning races for Ferrari, you know, they go through all every little detail of their race as if, you know, looking for mistakes. And so what I'm saying is mistakes is normal, and it's part of making progress. So,
okay.
You know, just don't feel down about it.
Okay.
Just learn from it.
Yeah, that's good. So this next one is a wild card question where I'm mixing it up for each person. And in 2017, we did this interview. I was at COTA, and I asked you, do you consider race car drivers to be entertainers? And you said no. And since then, it's like Drive to Survive and all the social media clips of you guys at the press conferences, every little funny thing, you know, they're trying to get you to say something funny and they put it out there. So do you still feel like drivers are not entertainers? Is it going that way a little bit more? How do you view all that?
Well, you know, we are entertaining people. You know, there's a lot of people watching us and being entertained by us driving around. And so in that sense, I guess we are entertainers. But, you know, I don't see myself as, you know, I don't go out there on track trying to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's just like a sub, you know, like a consequence of what we do. But, you know, my focus is on trying to make a good result, you know, be fast. And, you know, as you know, that's entertaining to a lot of people, so which is good. That's what runs the sport.
Yeah. So if you felt that you got blatantly taken out of a race, like somebody ran into you on purpose, how do you handle that? I mean, I know there's going to be a penalty for them, but do you go confront them? How do you deal with that?
That, you know, that specific situation is very unlikely to ever happen. Someone just taking you out. You know, in Formula One, that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Because, you know, these cars don't take a lot of, you know, slightest little contact and they explode, you know. They're so fragile. It's not like in sports cars or in NASCAR where you see them, you know, taking each other out and still being able to finish the race themselves. And I think it's different here. So when you get touched or when you get, you know, bummed out, it's usually because the guy made a mistake. And
okay, that makes sense.
I don't confront anyone.
Okay. What movie do you think you've seen the most times in the last year?
In the last year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't know if I've watched a movie in the last year.
Oh, okay. Not a movie guy.
I am, but I don't know. I had a kid and...
that changes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I watched some on the plane and I can't remember which ones it was. I was probably sleeping.
Yeah, how do you do screen time with the kids? Do you let them see like Coco Melon and stuff, or do you try to keep them away from that?
She's a year and a half, so
yeah.
You know, it's not a problem yet. But I'm sure, you know, she'll grow up and find out realize what an iPad is, and she'll wanna spend time on that. But I think it's best not to spend too much time on these devices.
Yeah. When you think about F1 5 years from now, what are you the most optimistic about, and what worries you the most?
I think I'm optimistic because I see the momentum that Formula One has with the, you know, with the public, and there's a lot of attention, you know, especially in the US. We're at the US, you know, the Miami Grand Prix now, and you can see the buzz there is around this race and the attention that it gets. I'm way more optimistic than I'm nervous. I don't know what I would be nervous about, you know. For the sport, at least, I think it's going in a very good direction.
Okay. So a magic genie appears and offers you the chance to go back to the beginning of your racing career and start all over, but you get to keep all of the knowledge that you have now and all the lessons you've learned. So would you want to go back and start over, or just stay where you are?
Because I've been very lucky many times, I wouldn't dare to go back. I'd be too afraid that I wouldn't get lucky the same way I did. So, yeah, I think I'd stay as it is.
Okay. So each week I ask a driver to give me a question for the next person. And the last one, it was with Kyle Larson from NASCAR. And he was fascinated by this video that was out there once. I guess you tested one of Tony Stewart's sprint cars. And he watched the onboard of this, and he had heard that you were like really good and up to speed, and he listened to the throttle, and you were like on it. And so he wanted to know, I guess, what you thought of the sprint car. What was the power weight ratio like compared to F1? And would you ever consider racing a dirt race?
It was probably one of the most fascinating and thrilling experience I've ever had in racing. It was so crazy, you know, and so different. Like, I was on totally different territory. I really loved it, you know. It was a shock how fast this little thing is and how much grip it had on the dirt. You know, in my mind, every time I go on the dirt in my career, it's been because I made a mistake and there's no grip out there.
Yeah.
But then with this car, it was like a lot of grip, had a lot of downforce. When you get it out, you know, when you're sliding through the corner, there's so much downforce and grip, and you just gotta keep the throttle in. Totally different. You know, I had Tony there showing me the ropes and giving me advice, and it was great. You know, I'd love to do it again.
Cool. So the next interview I'm doing is with Jimmy Johnson from now IndyCar. Do you have a question that I might be able to ask him?
I'd love to know if, you know, now that he's driving on ovals, if that is a more familiar environment to him. Is there a lot more that from his past experience that he can apply or use in on ovals with the IndyCar? I know that, you know, it's a completely different world to him racing IndyCars at road courses. You know, it must be like starting, you know, from zero, like learning to walk again almost. You know, he was a legend in NASCAR, but he, you know, I have a lot of respect for what he's done to step into such a unknown territory, and you know, he has had the guts to try and go in there, you know, at that level IndyCar, and you know, tackle that challenge. Is huge respect for that. So, but yeah, that would be my question.
Okay.
On the ovals, if there's some of his past experience that is similar or useful there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for playing along with these. Really appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Kevin Magnussen on the 12 questions. Second time we've had him on, actually. I did a joint 12 questions 5 years ago with Romain Grosjean and Magnussen at the Circuit of the Americas race. And he's also the second F1 driver we've had this year. If you want to hear more, we had Checo Perez on a couple weeks back. So go ahead and find that one. That was a good one as well. And of course, would love to do more F1 drivers. You know, we'll see how it goes as the year goes on. Also, as you heard there, the next interview will be with Jimmy Johnson. It's getting close to the Indy 500. So looking forward to that. Obviously, he's going to be probably a contender there, given how he did on the oval at Texas. So be interested to see what he has to say. Anyway, appreciate you as always for listening, and I will talk to you next time on the 12 Questions podcast.